You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. You like football? We've got football. You like baseball? We've got a five-time All-Star, a three-time Gold Glover, and oh yeah, a guy that happens to be the bench boss for the Miami Marlins. The Book of Eli, Tim Wallach, will join us on today's program. A lot of baseball stuff to throw at Tim Wallach. Mark Lauren steps up and in. Playbook now available at a newsstand near you. Buy it now. Mark Lawrence joins us. We're talking Big 12 football on the program. And considering one of my biggest fans and most loyal supporters out there is based out of Norman, Oklahoma, I pretty much have no choice but to tell you the Sooners are awesome. The Sooners are going to win it all. And the Sooners have the Big 12 already locked up. They don't need Bob Stoops. Mark Lawrence joins us. We're talking Denver Bronco football on the program today. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. I'm enjoying talking baseball on a daily basis right now. But I'm starting to feel it, man. Starting to feel it. We're now 64 days away from the start of the National Football League regular season, which means preseason is right around the corner, man. It feels as though the NBA season has never ended, as Gordon Hayward does. Pretty much, he was the last big prize out there. After when it's all said and done, he ends up signing with the Boston Celtics. And it was pretty crazy yesterday, man. We were talking with Leo Rowdens, and camera two Drew told us, oh, yeah, it's official. He's in Boston now. And then about a minute later, he goes, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's not official. Was anything official in the NBA? Did Kyle Lowry really sign with the Raptors? Or, like, did we all get trolled by, like, a fake Twitter account? We've been trolled, man. We got trolled last night, actually, and I apologize. My baseball picks sucked, man. Colorado Rockies just blow. We're staying away from the Rockies from here on out. Like, the Rockies are in a lot of trouble right now. I think they're 2-13 in their last 15 games. I don't know why I was picking on the Boston Red Sox, and I gave you the Texas Rangers last night. Even our Johnny Public parlay sucked as San Diego somehow beat Cleveland 1-0. One of those nights. And our horse at the racetrack finished in sixth place. Very, very frustrating. The 4th of July, we were like Jason Pierre-Paul. We got extremities blown off last night. But we pick up the pieces. I believe it was Vince Lombardi that stated, there's no shame in getting knocked down, son. The only shame is staying down. I know a lot of good football cliche quotes. Fake motivation, people, whatever gets you through the day. So I was going to open up the show with a big rant and intro about Gordon Hayward. Oh, Mr. Howdy Doody, Richie Cunningham, look at me. And listen, in all sincerity, Gordon Hayward, he can leave the Utah Jazz, and I don't have a problem with him bolting the Utah Jazz. He played in Salt Lake. He did his time. You know, he's earned it. And, you know, if the Boston Celtics want you to be part of something special, then I don't really have a problem with Gordon Hayward bolting. As I get older, you know, I seem to understand the athlete's point of view more and more. I think it's ridiculous that people are burning jerseys and stuff like that. You know what? The guy wasn't enslaved to you in Utah for the rest of his life. The problem that I have with Gordon Hayward bolting is the fact that he did it on the 4th of July. The fact that we all knew, dude. Everybody knew. Everybody talked about it, that you were going to be going to Boston. Brad Stevens is there. They have money. And listen, Utah are screwed in the West anyways. Everybody just got better than them. So like I said, I don't have a problem with you leaving. But you should have manned up and told the Utah Jazz you were going to leave instead of stringing them along and telling them on the 4th of July, oh, I'm torn, but I'm going to screw you over after all. Because now all the free agents are gone. Utah didn't get George Hill. They could have had money. They could have given him more money. They don't have George Hill. They lose Gordon Hayward. Big deal. They brought in Ricky Rubio. It's a freaking train wreck. And now they have nowhere to spend the money. What are they going to do? They're going to offer Otto Porter $104 million like everybody else that's under the cap right now and trying to get there? So, you know what? For shame, Gordon Hayward. You're a hell of a basketball player. You seem like a good guy. But in the end, you know, you leaving Utah doesn't screw them. You leaving them in the way that you left screws them over. And I'm sure they won't forget that. But I was going to talk about that. But I'm not going to talk about that. I was going to talk about that. I got to talk about something that, you know what, I've refrained from talking about over the last couple of years. Haven't talked about it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, I've refrained from talking about Colin Kaepernick like Hollywood has refrained from doing comic book sequels. Not enough of them. New Spider-Man movie. Jeez, I wonder what it's about. Colin Kaepernick. I know we've been here and I've done this before. And it's funny, I've done so many Colin Kaepernick takes that I get ripped from all sides. I'm like a right-wing nut job racist zealot if I call Kaepernick out. And I'm a pinko commie with a Hillary Clinton tattoo on my ass if I support him. There's no in-between. So today, I guess, call me Sean Hannity. Because you know what? I'm done with Colin Kaepernick, man. I don't have a problem with you going to Ghana to reconnect with your roots. You know what? You know, you want to go, you know, and you want to see your lineage, etc. You want to get connected, all that Ancestry.com type of crap. Good for you. Fine. But maybe you should leave out the whole, you know, 4th of July independence. What does independence really mean when everyone's enslaved? And basically, people don't want to hear America sucks on the 4th of July, Kaepernick, all right? This is what it comes down to. I've defended you in the past, man, but I can't do it anymore. You know, if you legitimately want to play football, camps open up in about 10 days' time, all right? Your camps are opening up, man, right now. You should be working out right now. All you got to do is shut up, man. The NFL is like the freaking military. Don't ask, don't tell. They don't care if you're a Satanist. If you told them, you know what, coach, in my private time, I actually like to burn things, and you know, I'm actually a Satanist. Yeah, good for you, son. Just shut your mouth. I don't care. You know, Tim Tebow talked about God too much. It upset them. Chris Cluey talked about gay rights too much. They said, dude, if you want to be an activist, be an activist. Stop talking about this stuff all the time. Tom Brady is friends with the president of the United States of America right now. He doesn't have any reason not to talk about this stuff. Brady doesn't talk about it. He doesn't want to alienate teammates, piss people off, and cause a distraction. I support Colin Kaepernick's political views like 92% of the time. You know, I guess I'm a pinko commie like he is. I support his views. But if I was a football coach right now, I'd be like, you know what? This kid just can't shut up, man. I tell him what, I don't care, man. I don't care if you want to be the next Martin Luther freaking King. Do it after your football career or choose. It's not one or the other right now. And you know what? I do believe that athletes have a social voice and that they should use it. But what's going on right now, Colin, and you help people. I'm all down for your charity. I like a lot of the stuff you do. But you're not really starting a conversation. You're just polarizing people and you're just trolling people. It's the 4th of freaking July, man. People have enough problems in their life without hearing that America sucks, all right? We get it. I know, man. Slavery existed, Kaepernick. That's not the National Football League's fault, all right? If you want to play football, then shut the hell up. If you want to be an activist, then become an activist and stop getting people in the media to say that you should be playing football, because I'm one of them that will stop us saying that. You know what? I got nothing against you. You're rich. There's no need to be enslaved to the NFL for the rest of your life. I get it. You know, people that criticize players that, you know, don't get scraped off the field is ridiculous. Oh, I can't believe, you know, he quit playing football. Yeah, I guess, because you think he should play for the rest of his freaking life. Some people are happy once they have a ton of money. Kaepernick already has a ton of money. But it can't be both. It's got to be one or the freaking other, Kaepernick. Make up your mind. Game Time Decisions continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
In Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I tell you what, there's been no summer lull here at the Fantasy Sports Network on Game Time Decisions. And, man, we've been rolling. The National Football League team-by-team previews have been great stuff. Today we're talking Denver Bronco football. We've had some great baseball guests as of late. Today is no exception. In fact, we've got a guest that does his work in our first guest, the backyard. Tim Wallach, of course, is the bench coach for the Miami Marlins. He was also the bench coach with the Dodgers, so he's clearly attached to Donnie Baseball and Don Mattingly. And we're clearly attached to Mark Lawrence, although I'll tell you what, we'll make a little announcement right now. Me and Mark Lawrence haven't, we've been doing shows together for years, about 15 years now, but we haven't seen each other face-to-face. We haven't been in the same room or the same city even. Since, I don't know what, Mark, maybe 2006-ish, maybe seven?
Yeah, at least 10 years, Gabe, it's been, I think. Yes, Vegas.
Right? Yeah, we did that. We did a covers experts form. We had a bunch of cappers. We did a bunch of radio shows live from the Sunset Station in Las Vegas for the college and NFL kickoff. But you and I will be reunited once again in Costa Rica, first weekend of August, Mark.
Yeah, it'll be pretty exciting. SBR Forums is putting it on. It's the first international sports betting affair, if you will. And you and I, Teddy Covers, will be there, and a bunch of other guys from around the country that are connected. So it's a two-day affair in Costa Rica. I'm looking forward to hooking up with you, sharing some old memories, and maybe sharing with people some things to look for throughout this football season.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you, I better start working on my presentation. I'm talking with some heavyweights here.
Well, we don't even know what the subject matters are right now, but
they actually gave me a subject matter. Word or no lie, because I said, "Well," he goes, "What do you have, you know?" And he goes, "You finished eighth in the contest." I said, "Yeah, we tied with Lawrence." Actually, he goes, "Oh, you talk about the contest and your experiences," and he goes, "But I think it'd be funny with you, Morenci, if you did a seminar on not letting emotions get into gambling." So, and he goes, "I'm serious. I think it'd be really funny if you just did a couple of minutes on that." So I was like, "All right, yeah, it's kind of ironic, but yeah, we'll get a kick out of that."
Well, that's cool. I don't know if we're going to do panels or individual segments, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you in Costa Rica as well, and I appreciate the invite. I look forward to one of the biggest gaming conventions of the year in right outside of San Jose, Costa Rica. All right, so I guess, you know, Mark, better late than never applies to a lot of things, right? Better late than never, that somebody owes you money and you actually get it. The check in the mail arrives. Better late than never, you meet the woman of your dreams. And better late than never, if you're the Big 12 and you finally have a damn conference championship game.
Better late than never is the truth. I mean, it's unbelievable, but, you know, they boxed themselves into a corner. They absolutely had to do this, and because of doing that now this year for the first time ever, a college conference championship game in the Big 12 means that we just might see a Big 12 team in the college football playoffs this year.
December 2nd at Jerry's World, where else? What's interesting, six different teams have won the Big 12 conference championship in the last 8 years. That's a lot of turnover. Right there. And of course, the most recognizable face of the conference is now gone. Bob Stoops steps down after 18 years, a national championship, and 10 Big 12 titles, Mark.
Yeah, really stunning, surprising news. Bob Stoops stepping down when he did, not at the end of the season, but really just about spring camp. And it really doesn't give them a lot of time to get prepared. But Lincoln Riley steps in to fill his shoes, and he's going to be a pretty good fill-in, if you will, because he's the guy that ran this Oklahoma offense the past 2 years.
So the Oklahoma Sooners, and I'll tell you what, even though Bob Stoops left, there was minimal, if any, line movement with their future odds and as far as their conference odds are concerned. Oklahoma, you know, they were 8-1, 9-1. Now they're plus 900 to win it all. They're plus 250 to make the playoffs. They're minus 163 favorites to win the Big 12, overwhelming favorites to win the Big 12. And it didn't move at all, Mark. You know, I saw it was 163, and I thought it was high with Stoops because I'm pretty high on the guys in orange across state this year. Didn't move at all. Their win total is 9.5. Stoops is out. 33-year-old Lincoln Riley is in. He was the offensive coordinator for the last 2 years. But Baker Mayfield is back. All five offensive linemen are back. Yeah, they lose P. Ryan, they lose Mixon, and they lose D.D. Westbrook, over 4,500 yards of production. But, you know, remember in the old days, Mark, the USC Trojans were known as tailback U. with Anthony Davis and O.J. Simpson, etc. Let's be real. Oklahoma are the new tailback you. These guys just spit out star running backs. You know, DeMarco Murray, Adrian Peterson, Joe Mixon, P. Ryan. We go down the list and whatever. Abdul Adams will be the next one.
It's all about recruiting, Gabe, and nobody does it better in the Big 12 than Oklahoma. That was Bob Stoops, and that was his specialty. Now it's all going to fall on Lincoln Riley. All the pieces are in place for Oklahoma. The only thing different is who's holding the clipboard on the sidelines, and it'll be Lincoln Riley this year as opposed to Bob Stoops. One big advantage Lincoln Riley is going to have is that the defensive coordinator is his brother, Mark Stoops. On the sidelines for Oklahoma. That'll help the transition here, I believe, for the Sooners this football season here. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator for the team that was the largest scoring team ever in Oklahoma history last year. So points aren't going to be hard to be found for Oklahoma this year. The question is going to be whether or not this transition is going to be as smooth as Oklahoma hopes it will be. I don't believe it's going to be. I think there's going to be a few bumps in the road, but it's going to be a learning process. But nonetheless, we're going to see Oklahoma, a big-time football program again this year.
Yeah, seven starters back on defense, and it looks good on paper with Riley and all that. But like you said, you're 33 years old, and you're going to be standing on the sidelines in a horseshoe in Columbus against Urban Meyer a couple of weeks into your career. Stuff moves fast. Hey, coach, what's the decision? It's a different – you're not in the box with a headset like you are right now, right? You're live action. Hey, what's going on? Should I challenge that? Oh, hey, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. And you're right. I like this football team a lot. I think the 9.5 wins, it's minus 150 to the over. But I think we can get to 10 here, Mark. But, you know, at Ohio State, at K-State, at Oak State versus Texas, there's a lot of landmines along the way this year for Riley.
There are, and there are landmines largely because the Big 12 is going to be a pretty strong conference this year. Texas is going to be really good. We'll talk about them in a little bit. Oklahoma State is going to challenge Oklahoma for the superiority inside this conference. And that wicked non-conference game, as you mentioned, against Ohio State, you add it all up, it might be a tall order for Oklahoma to hit those 10 wins this season.
All right, I always stay up all night putting my notes together, and I'm never able to get to them all, Mark. All right, so I'm just going to talk really fast and rattle off a bunch of OK State facts here and give you the floor. Oklahoma State, 41 to win at all. They're plus 750 to make the playoffs. They're plus 500 to win a Big 12. Their win total is 9, plus 105 to the over. Stoops is out. Gundy's got a chance to take over the state. Pokes are loaded. Best trio skill position in the country by far. Mason Rudolph, Justice Hill, James Washington. Only 5 starters back on defense, but that might not be a bad thing. They got to improve. Schedule is manageable. They host the Sooners, NK State. Toughest tests are at Pittsburgh. Very winnable. They do go to Texas, and they're at West Virginia leading up to the Sooners game. Thing with the Pokes is they often stumble in a game that they shouldn't. So once again, on paper, this looks really good. You and I are both high on Mason Rudolph as a Heisman, dark horse candidate, Mark. But it's almost you got to do it. You got to prove it. You got a shot to do it. I was tempted to pull the trigger and say, you know what, Oklahoma State wins this conference. But the pedigree, I still have to give the nod to the folks in Norman.
Well, right now, Gundy's going to have the horses to get him to the winner's circle here this football season here. You mentioned Rudolph Hill and Washington, the only trio to throw for 4,000, catch 1,000, and run for 1,000 yards in college football coming back this year. That's going to be a really potent offense for Oklahoma State. And what I like about their chance this year is Bedlam, the big Bedlam game against Oklahoma, is going to occur in early October, November this year instead of the last game of the season. They can't risk having them play Oklahoma back-to-back games for the Big 12 title, so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, the big Bedlam series game the first week of November.
I love the playbook fact, and the playbook's now available on a newsstand near you, or go to playbook.com for the digital version. But Gundy loves to feast on the week, 11-0 straight up, 10-1 against the spread when he's riding off back-to-back wins versus teams off of back-to-back losses. He kicks you when you're down. I like that.
Oh, he does. That's what a good cowboy does, if you will, and that's what he's been all about since he's been there, is stomping on teams that are stompable. And look for some big routes by Oklahoma State this football season here. They could be in a lot of high-scoring football games.
I like the overs in their games, and I tell you what, I think they're live at plus 500 worth of sprinkle, but I still got to give the nod to the Sooners. Speaking of cowboys, let's go to the state of Texas right now. Tom Herman takes over. Horns are 33-1. To win it all, plus 900 to make the playoffs, plus 600 to win the Big 12. Their win total is 7.5, even money, while minus 110, minus 120. Tom Herman bolts the Cougars for Austin. dangerous team, man. They lost five games by a touchdown or less last year. As you wrote, very, very raw. Second most underclassmen started for them last year. They got 10 guys back on defense. They got talent on offense. Shane Buechel, I think, is going to thrive with Tom Herman right here. They got four starters back on the O-line. The defense needs to tighten up. They gave up 31-6 a game last year, but they got a million-dollar man and Todd Orlando taking over at D.C. The schedule's not easy, though. At USC, at TCU, at West Virginia, they play the Sooners. The talent is here, and Herman, I trust. I think this team can get to 8 wins, Mark. I like the over 7.5.
I like the over 7.5 real well with this football team here, Gabe. Tom Herman is an excellent head coach. He's gone out and started recruiting again to build his base for next season and years moving forward with this team. As you mentioned, they were a young team last year, and they lost a lot of close call football games under Charlie Strong. I think that'll reverse itself this year, or at least in the near future here with Tom Herman. I make them the number 3 team in the Big 12 conference this year.
It's one of the more baffling things about football. It really is. Like, you look at... You remember, like, Tony Dungy, defensive specialist. He was in Indianapolis, yet it was an offensive team, and the defense sucked. And, like, you look at Pagano as well right now. It's always been, you know, the Colts' defense has been the weak link. And you look at Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong was known as an offensive guru. He goes to Texas, and the defense falls apart, and Texas are playing 50-47 games every week.
Yeah, go figure that. Scratch your head and figure out why that all happened. It happened because it did. Charlie Strong's now at South Florida. He lost his job because of that, because of the defense. It's really rather strange, but I think Tom Herman will get them back to where they need to be defensively. And remember, this is not a conference that's all about defense to begin with. The team that ends up with the best defense generally is a football team that challenges for the league title.
Well, listen, college football has changed, and TCU's another good example of this. TCU's a much more wide-open offensive-style team than they were in years past, but I think it's bothering Patterson. And tell us, Mark, about Patterson when he's coming off a losing season. He's one of the grumpier coaches in college football. TCU are starting to slip a little bit right now. They're not in the national conscience so much. They got that new stadium. I tell you what, Mark, I wouldn't want to be a kid during these practices this summer. I got to believe that Patterson's going to push these kids hard this year. I imagine it's like that Bobby Knight speech. I will not get embarrassed like that again this year. I will not. I'm not losing to Texas Tech, all right? Like, you know he's going to be pissed, Mark.
Well, he's going to be PO'd in the worst of way here. Not only is it going to be a mission season for TCU this year because of that rare losing effort last year, but that offense went backwards 100 yards a game. You got to look for that to change this football season here. And like you, I wouldn't want to be those players that were in spring or summer camp with TCU. You know he's going to be cracking the whip, and I think this football team will rebound in a big way. I'm going to make TCU with at least 8 wins this season.
Courtesy of the playbook, Gary, coaches after a losing season, he's 11-1 and 12-1. So after he's had two losing seasons, he went 11-1 and 12-1. He ain't messing around. He brought in Sonny Dykes as an offensive advisor. Like, you know what this team comes down to? You know, I was disappointed. I mean, they got talent. They got 10 starters back on offense, 7 back on defense. But, you know, Ken Hill, he struggled at quarterback. I really expected more from this kid at Texas A&M after the Manziel era. And then it turned out he was a partier, and he had some attitude problems too. And it was weird because you see Hill play sometimes and you're like, man, that's an elite quarterback. That's an elite college quarterback. And then you see him other Saturdays and the kid's terrible.
He's got skills. There's no question about that. The question is whether or not Sonny Dykes can bring the best of him out. It's going to have to play to Sonny Dykes' playbook, what Hill will have to do. But he's an elite athlete. I mean, a great basketball player, obviously a really good quarterback, baseball pitcher. He does it all. He's athletically talented. He'll end up being the main cog for TCU's revival this football season here. Keep those stats in mind, as you mentioned here. Gary Patterson off a losing season, dynamite the next year.
Yeah, his former Expo pitcher, Ken Hill, his kid. Ken Hill,
exactly.
Jr. All right, quick hits, Mark. We got 1 minute here. West Virginia, over under 6.5 wins. Seems like Holgorsen's starting over here. K-State seemed to be a trendy team coming into this year. 7.5, a lot of people keep talking about them being a sleeper this year. Baylor win totals at 8 seems a little high to me for a program that can get shut down any day. Texas Tech, bet the overs. Kansas Jayhawks, when does basketball season start, Mark?
They all want to know at Kansas, but Dave Beatty's doing a good job at Kansas. They're going to be sneaky good this football season. I'm going to predict that. I'm going to predict at least 4 wins for this football team this year.
So we can get some covers then, because we're getting points. The public won't be on board with this.
No, they won't. Look out for Kansas. I think they'll make some money this year. The bigger money maker will be Kansas State. Bill Snyder has got a boatload of talent at that school this year. They played a ton of freshmen last football season here. They're all now sophomores and juniors, so those underclassmen become upperclassmen. Kansas State will be a big threat in this conference. I said Texas is the third best team. I got to change it and make it Kansas State. I think they'll be a big, big challenge. And West Virginia is going to rely on Will Grier, the transfer from Florida, to help that football program out.
I like K-State to go over the number. This is probably Snyder's swan song too. I mean, we know about the drama going on with the successor, and he wants it to be his kid, etc. But I would expect this to be Snyder's last year. He's not getting any younger. Mark, you're a class act. I look forward to seeing you in Costa Rica. I look forward to talking college football with you next week as well. We encourage people to check out your local newsstand, or just go to playbook.com, get it on your mobile device at the Google Store as well. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. We'll do the Conference USA next week. Be good.
Mark Lawrence with us. Tim Eli Wallach joins us next.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's our honor to be joined by 5-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glover, the Book of Eli. A guy so popular and was so successful in Canada, he's in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, despite the fact from being from California, currently the bench boss with the Miami Marlins. Tim Wallach joins us. Tim, it's an honor to have you on the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, listen, Vladimir Guerrero was just recently inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, and it was a very emotional time for him. To a lot of people, the Expos are a forgotten footnote in baseball history. But, to a lot of guys, I think, people don't realize how beloved a lot of the players were and how respected your guys' careers were. What did it mean to you to get inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, considering, you're a kid from California?
It was a great honor. I had I've got a lot of ex-teammates, managers, just very important people that were very important in my life and baseball career. But I was able to go in to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame with, and certainly probably the biggest honor I've received as a player. So I have a lot of great memories from the time my wife and my boys and myself spent there, not just baseball-wise, but still have a ton of good friends from our times there. Just great. It was a great about 13 years that I spent out there. Really good people, treated us fantastic, and we'll always have a lot of great memories.
And, of course, you were inducted with Dave Van Horde, one of my favorite guests to talk baseball with on the program. And, ironic, here you are right now in Miami with Dave once again. And I was thinking about this, Tim. You probably spent more time with him and seeing him a lot more than you've seen a lot of relatives in your life, right? Like, over the years?
Yeah, I've spent probably more time with people in baseball than I probably have with my family. Although, when I do get some time, I try to spend as much as possible with them. But the really neat thing about being here with Miami, not only the group of guys that we have here, but you mentioned Dave, and he's as good as there's been at announcing baseball games, and we go back a long ways. But my first, one of my first trainers, and Mike Kozak, is here. He came in, I think, my first year, and then John Silverman, who's the equipment manager, is here. So it's kind of a reunion, which has been really neat. So I had some familiar people to be around, so it made the adjustment out to Miami much easier.
How did you become so familiar with Don Mattingly? Obviously, there's a connection, and obviously, there's got to be a certain amount of trust, a lot of trust, for a manager to want you by his side. You know, how far back did you go with Donnie Baseball? Was it a relationship brewed from baseball and sort of the same philosophies about the game? But, you know, you've been along for the ride with Donnie right now in a couple of locations. Tell us about the relationship and how this came to be.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I think, as everybody knows, we played in different leagues. He was in the American League for his career, and I was in the National League for the majority of mine. Certainly came to respect him as a player, just watching his career and respecting the way he went about his career. And then I came over. Donnie was the hitting coach in L.A. for 3 years before he became the manager, and I was managing AAA in Albuquerque, so I had never really met Donnie and didn't know him. I knew of him, obviously, and knew nothing but had heard nothing but good things about him, and they've all turned out to be just that. He's a quality man, great baseball man. But I managing those 2 years in Albuquerque, I was in spring training, got to know him there. Came up at the end of the year for the 2 years I managed in AAA in 2009 and 10. And when he got the job, he offered me a third base job, and I was really excited about the opportunity and to work with him. And just I always thought I had patience, and being around Donnie now for 9 years, counting those two that I was managing, I didn't know what patience was until got to be around him. He's really something. He's done a great job. He's had some certainly some difficult situations at times, but he handles them like they're supposed to be handled. And you know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love working with him.
And, you know, speaking of patience, those of us that grew up Montreal Expo fans are being very patient. But there's a buzz in the city about baseball coming back. And you've been patient. You're working your way up the ladder. You've been paying your dues in the game. And I thought about this last night at about 4 in the morning, Tim. I should be thinking about other things besides Tim Wallach at 4 a.m. But it crossed my mind. I was like, you know what? Perfect timing. Let's say in about 4 or 5 years, Expos are back and Tim Wallach's the manager.
Well, I would first of all, I would love to see baseball back in Montreal. I think, as everybody knows, you know, we were all disappointed when the team left. Just, you know, it was the biggest part of my career. So you feel like you almost lose something there. So I would love to see it back, as I know a lot of other Expo players would like to see.
All right, so I wanted to ask you. And it's so much. We have Warren Cromartie on right now. I mean, Gary Carter. There's a statue, a lifelike wax figure of him at a museum, and Jackie Robinson stuff. They're really pushing for this. The mayor is behind it, and there's even some money there right now. They're just waiting for the next CBA and expansion.
Well, I hope so. I hope it happens, and I know a lot of other people doing it. I know they can support it. We saw it in the 80s for sure when I was there.
Yep.
You know, I know 94 had probably a big effect on where it ended up going, but we know they can support it, and we know they're great fans, and they love sports. They love winners. That's one thing I know for sure, is they love to win. And they got pretty used to winning for a long time there with the Canadiens, and then we got close in the 80s, and there was a lot of disappointment, not only for the fans, but for us as well. We felt like we should have done a lot more than we did over the years that I was there, so I'd love to see it back and give them the opportunity to win a World Series someday.
Tim, yesterday we were debating on the program. We were talking about the Home Run Derby, and I'm fired up for this thing. And to be honest, in past years, I was like, yeah, it's good for the kids. It's an exhibition. But this year, I feel like a kid when I see all these kids that are in it. and these massive men, they're just crushing the baseball. You know, you got Bellinger crushing it in L.A. right now. You have Phenom, Aaron Judge, of course, in New York. And your boy, Stanton, says, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting this guy. He's like the brother I never met. And there's not a lot of guys that are smaller, smaller than Stanton. Stanton, you know, Judge even bigger than this guy. But I wanted to ask you on a serious note, because I said, Tim, I think it's a myth that the home run derby ruins guys' swings. You're a hitting coach. You're a professional hitter. What can you tell us about this? What's your thought process on that? Is it a myth? Have you looked into this before? What's your take on this?
I haven't really looked into it, but, I mean, I don't know that it affects. I mean, if you sit around and watch BP anymore, it's pretty much what guys try to do anyway. They're trying to hit home runs in BP. So I hope it's not. I know it's very entertaining. I know that, and I agree with you, this year is going to be something else. There's, you know, with Judge and Stanton and Bellinger and even our other guy here, Justin Bour, I think people are going to be, if people don't know about him, like maybe they will after this. He's got as big a power as anybody I've seen as well. So
where's the best spot for the fans to be? Like, what's the sweet spot in the park? What's that little insight you could give us?
I don't know. I've never been there for one, but I would imagine be way up at the top, out here to left or right, one of the two.
I told people, if you're going in the outfield, wear a catcher's mask, because yeah, these balls are going to be smoking in there. They're not going to be like lazy flies coming in here.
No, I would be a little careful in left. That's a little bit lower, and there's not as many seats. But in right field, you can get up there pretty high. And I've watched Bohr hit quite a few up there.
All right, so
over the last year and a half. So it'll be fun. It'll be exciting.
Before we get you out of here, Coach, congratulations on the win yesterday. Urena has really been a fresh of breath air for you guys every 5 days, hasn't he been?
Well, he's been huge for us. And we started out the season, he was our long guy, and he stepped in and he's been one of our two most reliable starters. He goes out and gives us a good outing pretty much every time he goes out there. He's been huge. And you know, the guy tonight, Volquez, who started out slow, but he's been pitching well. And then Straley have been our three most consistent guys. So
it'd be nice to go into the break with a couple of wins under the belt, right? I saw the boys after the game last night, and you know, the high fives, all smiles. It's a grind, 162 games. So I imagine it'd be real nice to try to get a couple of more under your belt.
Yeah, we're trying to get ourselves back to 500. We've gotten within five, I think, and we lost four in a row. And now if we can get through these last two here and three in San Francisco, get ourselves a little closer, we can have some excitement. It's a long haul. I know guys are looking forward to the break that aren't at the All-Star game. But, they can use the rest, and hopefully we can get back second half and get it rolling.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Best of luck with the remaining of the season. You're a class act, and I know people in Montreal still miss you immensely. Tim, thanks for the time, man.
All right, thank you, Gabe. Appreciate you having me on.
There's Tim Wallach with us, bench boss of the Miami Marlins. Yeah, that home run derby is going to be sick. Stanton won last year. He hit 61 home runs, all right? I think it's going over this year. Like Malinsky said yesterday, all Judge has to do is just swing. He's going to swing, and the ball's going to go over the fence. It's going to be great stuff. We should have some odds for that later in the week. We take a quick break. We talk some Denver Bronco football.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Let's go to the Mile High City and talk some Denver Bronco footballs. The 2017 Denver Broncos remind me of a line in one of my favorite songs. It would surprise people, but I'm a big fan of the Wallflowers. And you know that song, One Headlight? There's a line in the song in One Headlight says, you know, man, I've changed, but man, I know I'm not the same. That's the 2017 Denver Broncos. Man, they've changed, but they're sort of kind of the same, ultimately. Now, the Broncos have many changes on the sidelines, but for the most part, they're the exact same team on the field as last year's 9-17 to miss the playoffs just 1 year removed from winning the Super Bowl. And when I say there's been changes, Gary Kubiak is gone. Gary Kubiak had to retire due to health concerns, as it's not a healthy situation coaching in the National Football League. Kubiak, listen, he got his championships. He's been around. He has money. So we wish Gary Kubiak nothing but the best in his retirement. Wade Phillips is gone. Vance Joseph takes over. Now, my concern with this is Vance Joseph's first job anywhere. All right, the guy was a defensive backs coach in the NFL as recently as 2 years ago. He was the defensive coordinator with the Miami Dolphins for 1 year. And, you know, he was a former, Colorado Buffalo player in the early 90s. He wasn't a star at Colorado or anything. So he's got some lineage and some connections to the Mile High City. Yet, speaking of the Mile High City, expectations in Denver around the Broncos are higher than a person that goes to one of the many legal dispensaries in the Mile High City. They expect to win. In Denver. It's one of the highest profile, most pressure cooker jobs in the freaking NFL, man. Like, they booed Peyton Manning. Like, you know, they only liked him after. Like, it's a high pressure gig. How is Vance Joseph going to be able to deal with this? And, oh, yeah, they play the toughest schedule in the National Football League as well. They're 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're plus 800 to win the AFC. They're plus 240 to win the division. And, man, this division is tight. And, you know, I got the Broncos here as the third team. We're doing the Chargers tomorrow. This doesn't even necessarily mean any order. It wouldn't shock me if every team in this damn division was 9-7. Do they have play-in games in the NFL? We might have a tiebreaker this year in this division. They're plus 240 to win a division. The win total is 8.5, minus 125 to the over, minus 125, minus 105 to the under. Let's talk about the offense. Trevor Siemian ended up being the guy at quarterback last year. I actually don't mind Trevor Siemian. And we saw Trevor Siemian exceeded expectations in the first month of the season or so. But the problem with Trevor Siemian was he didn't get better as the season went along. He didn't get better. Now, I watched every Denver Bronco game last year because I seen to bet on these guys a lot. I saw a lot of Bronco football, like every damn game, all right? And it's funny, I was looking at a chart here. And it says Denver actually had the 24th least drops in the NFL, a wide receiver at 14. Like, who did this chart? Somebody that's hanging out at the dispensary getting high. 14. I saw Demaryius Thomas drop like 8 balls in one game once. Like, you watch these games, it'd be like Siemian would drop it. It was like, oh, my God, Thomas, you dropped it, bro. You know, or Sanders would drop one. Like, there was a lot of drops. There's no way in hell Bronco wide receivers only dropped the football 14 times last year. But nevertheless, man, Simeon's got to be better. He's got to be better. But Simeon's problem is Paxton Lynch is coming on right now. I wasn't a huge Paxton Lynch fan. You know, he was a good quarterback in Memphis, whatever. The kid at Memphis right now is better than he is. He was a product of the system. He was a big guy playing in a crappy conference, taking advantage of crappy cornerbacks in a crappy conference. But Paxton Lynch... And something happened. I was reading up on Lynch, and all the reports are something just clicked. They said one day he showed up, last month at the minicamp, and it was just like zing, zing, boom. Everything is like moving slower for him. And they're like, he's looking like this is what we want to see. So he supposedly is extremely closed the gap, and if he plays well in the preseason, it's going to be Lynch's gig. So it's tough to totally predict this offense when I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. But they're both sort of equal value. I think, though, Lynch probably has more upside, stronger arm, can zing the ball down the field a little bit more. So I think ultimately there'll be a better football team if Paxton Lynch can be the guy. Trevor Siemian is your perfect backup NFL quarterback. But Siemian can play. It's going to be a battle. It's a battle. I'd like Siemian, but we need more upside. It's got to be some upside there. As far as the running back is concerned, I know a lot of fantasy guys pick on C.J. Anderson. But fantasy stats don't put Super Bowl rings on your finger. Good reality running backs do. That's what C.J. Anderson is. You notice C.J. Anderson is like the glue of this team. When he's not there, the running game falls apart. Simeon has to force things more. And C.J. just has that inner big play ability about him. And trust me, I lost $13,000 on a Super Bowl, right? Because of this son of a bitch. What did Denver do on offense? Nothing. Nothing. It was C.J. Anderson, you know, a couple of big plays. The worst part is I liked the guy, too. I was watching. I was like, oh, God, there he goes. It was right after. You remember the play when Talib was 5 yards offside and they didn't call it? We missed a field goal? Twix! They were all Twix! It was a setup! I really am pissed off right now. That game was fixed, too. I know there's a lot of Bronco fans watching. You guys were better in Carolina, but that game was fixed. Just punch in on YouTube. Panthers-Broncos fixed. 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 Fake news. It was fake. All right, anyways, back on track. I like C.J. Anderson, but he's got to stay healthy. Devin Booker, I liked out of Utah, but he was kind of a disappointment. I like the big old lineman that they drafted. The old line's kind of been a disappointment the last couple of years in Denver. They got to improve that, but I think it is going to be improved this year. The wide receivers are great. Thomas and Sanders are studs. But Demaryius Thomas gets frustrated with bad quarterback play. And he's been there forever. He's dealt with all these stiffs over the years, in and out. So, and I saw last year, I follow him closely. I could tell his body language. You could tell he was just pissed. It was almost like he was knocking passes down out of frustration or something. I think, if Lynch is there and the ball is zinging out of the pocket a little bit faster and crisper, you know, an interested Demaryius Thomas is a good Demaryius Thomas. So they got good wide receivers. But the strength of this football team, obviously, is the defense. Fine like wine. All right? But they got worn out last year. They got worn out. You know, there's too many three and outs. The defense is on the field too much. You can't expect these guys to carry you, like, every year all the time. But one thing that I stumbled upon that's interesting about the Bronco defense is you realize they gave up points on nine first drives. Nine times the opponent's first drive, they scored points. That's not helping Simeon, and that's not going to help Lynch. You guys got to step up, all right? It was a bend but don't break situation, but you got to step up a little bit more so that offense isn't playing from behind as much as they were last year. Schedule is a killer by any metric you want to talk about. But the Falcons, Denver had the toughest schedule in the NFL. The Falcons had the toughest schedule last year and whatever. They murdered the league. And it turned out when it was the end of the year, they only really had the eighth toughest schedule in the NFL. But they opened at home versus the Chargers. They host the Cowboys in week two. I think they're 1-1. At Buffalo, toss-up. Bills are tough at home. Host the Raiders, huge game, winnable. 2-2 after four. Host the Giants, winnable. At Chargers, let's say 3-3 after six. At KC, at Eagles, let's say a split. I'm saying the Broncos are 4-4 after eight. Host the Patriots. They've always played the Pats tough in the Mile High City, but not this time. You're 4-5. You host the Bengals. You're at the Raiders. Let's make you 5-6. But now I think you start to put some wins together. At Dolphins, at Jets, you get up to 7-6. At Colts, at Redskins on Christmas Eve. And then you wrap up the season, versus the Chiefs on Christmas Eve. The win total is 8.5. I think we can get to 9 games. The team won 9 last year. I think they're going to be a little bit better just because no post-Super Bowl hangover. But I really question whether Vance Joseph is going to be able to handle this. It's a lot of pressure. He's never coached at any level before. And he could have a second-year quarterback behind the helm and not a deep slate of running backs. I don't think they're going to win a division, but I think it's an ultra-tight division. But ultimately, I do think the Denver Broncos go over 8.5 football games. I'll bet it. Give me Denver over 8.5.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Our baseball picks were freaking terrible last night, so mathematically, we have to be better tonight, right? Listen, I think the Houston Astros are a good play this evening, minus 140 against the Atlanta Braves. We've got the Marlins and the Cardinals, and I hate to do this, considering we just had the bench coach on of the Miami Marlins, but they are like 7 or 8 games under 500 for a reason. Give me the Cardinals. And finally, in closing, the Kansas City Royals with cheese. That burger tastes good. They keep on winning. You know, they're 21-10 in their last 31 baseball games. I don't see why we don't go back to the well tonight. May the winners be yours.